Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Hey, guys. Hey, Steve.
What's going on, Brad?
Hey, man. So, everybody, we have a very special fellow on as a guest today, and we just wanted to jump on, and because he's not an actor, he is our casting director, and not
Correct.
Everybody knows what that is. And
well, funny that you say that, because I have the definition pulled up here.
Do you really?
Yes, I'm prepared for you, sir.
Oh boy,
the person responsible for assigning roles in a film, TV, play, or any other production.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
So I don't know, some people, you know, I know people are excited when we have other castmates on, and they might be
sure.
Like, oh, he's not a castmate. This might not be as interesting or as exciting. Au contraire.
it's so interesting. I think people are going to love it because it really gives them insight on A, how difficult it is to cast.
Yes.
Something, and how difficult it is to continue to find talent after 20 plus, how many years has Mark been? 30 Mark, years?
30 years on our show. And then,
yeah,
I think
crazy, right?
From what we talked about 5 years before that.
Wow.
So you might actually, as fans of our show, or if fans of any television program, you might realize that the casting director, not only is it a tough job, but if you're not going to be an actor, but love being around actors and around the business, it is a pretty cool job. And this may be a job that some of you out there think you might, number one, be good at, number two, would love to do. So I think you're going to find it fascinating. We love this man. We owe so much to him.
We do. Yeah, a lot of us do. I do for sure. I'm so happy he was willing to sit down and talk to us. It means a lot to me. And I hope everybody enjoys the interview.
Absolutely. So thanks, guys, for hanging with us for another week. And our friend, Mark Teschner.
Bradford! Oh my God, Steve.
Yes.
You know, we're surrounded by talented, wonderful people, but
and
people that I'd say border on greatness, right?
Yeah,
there's been maybe a couple,
but in this next guest's field, he is one of the greatest. One of the greatest.
Greatest.
According to TV Guide
and
Rolling Stone, he is unparalleled at finding amazing talent.
Is there a daytime Hall of Fame?
There should be. You're right. There should be.
There should be a Hall of Fame because I want to see his bust somewhere.
His bust?
His bust. Yeah.
We'd love to see it. But I owe so much to this guy, and actually so do you.
Yes,
Bradford.
Damn straight.
And so do we.
Anybody
together.
That's crossed through this building in the last however many years does, yeah.
So we have arguably one of the greatest casting directors in the history of Hollywood.
Yes, indeed.
We have Mark Teschner, casting director of General Hospital. There he is.
Happy to be here.
Marky Mark!
You know, I'm looking at you guys with your Starbucks coffee your croissants.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
You know, it's 8 in the morning, and there's no craft services.
Yeah.
I will never do this again. Just so you know.
Just thank you. And just for the record, I do not have a croissant. with me. Bradford's trying to.
I'm trying to get some sustenance here.
I do have some Starbucks though, Mark.
Yeah.
Well, just for the record, because of me, you two have houses, and there's nothing here. I just want to point that out.
That is for sure.
I did offer you my only sparkling water, Mark Teschner. And you know, to me, this is liquid gold throughout the day.
I'm just pointing something out.
I know. It's the least I can do for you.
So, so how many years has it been? Is that
1989.
I started December 4th, 1989. I landed in L.A. November 30th, 1989. From New York, where I was when I got the job. So I'm here over 29 years.
Wow.
Is that amazing, Mark?
It's crazy. You know, you look back and it really flies.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it doesn't fly at all. You know, when you're having one of those really tough days or tough weeks where I get stumped and I'm like really trying to find something. But it's been basically, you know, it's almost 29 and a half years.
And that's cool because we want to get into kind of the semantics of, you know, casting a lead role or an under five role, and you're kind of day to day, but you're from New York.
Born in New York City and raised in Scarsdale, New York, a suburb that's about 20 miles north of New York City.
Yeah, now Scarsdale. Growing up, was there your family, were they in the arts at all, music, acting, or how did you become?
What kind of kid were you?
I was a all around kid. I liked sports, acting, music. I was the worst drummer in the world. I was in a rock band with Aaron Sorkin called The Electric Sun.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
We were awful.
But you know, I mean, how cool were you though? It doesn't matter if you're good as long as you pull it off the cool factor, right?
Well,
that's why you do it in the first place.
By the way,
place.
There's no cool factor. No one's like, oh, that's the guy that's going to win all the Emmys for writing and plays. No one knew who Aaron Sorkin
right,
was,
sure.
So there was no
right.
cool attachment. You know, I was an all-around kid, but because we were basically about a half hour out of the city, my parents weren't in the arts, but they were very pro-arts. They would go into New York City every week to see either the ballet, a Broadway show, and I would be there. My first Broadway show I saw when I was 7.
Wow. That's
so
awesome.
I grew up exposed to theater, dance. I've seen all the greats dance. I've seen Broadway. So culturally, I was blessed. I was with, you know, liberal New York parents that were very much into the arts scene, even though they weren't specifically.
Right.
So my background was always in the performing arts. And so that lived inside me basically forever. I was an English major in college, but I was in 12 plays. I was one course shy of a double major.
Yeah.
I went to New York right out of college to pursue acting.
Okay.
Which I did for a little less than 3 years until I realized that I liked the idea of being an actor more than actually being an actor.
Right.
But, you know, it served me so well because the basic tenet for being a cast director is you got to know good talent.
Yeah. Sure.
So from growing up and seeing shows as well as being trained as an actor, I knew what good acting was, which is where you start from. So all of that led to me being a casting director, and so I never looked back. I mean, it was like, this is the right fit for me.
So what was the disconnect, though, from the idea of being an actor and actually being it? What was the thing that made you say, I don't think this is...
The lifestyle, the looking for work all the time, the numbers, the being dismissed, the way, the anonymous feeling, just and realizing maybe that, you know what? This isn't for me. It's a combination of all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a
those
lot.
Those are good reasons.
Right. I mean, it's really – and now that I'm in casting and I look on the other side, I totally made the right decision.
Oh, absolutely.
When you see the numbers, they're staggering. Yeah. And it's sort of like I found something, thank God, that I just love.
Yeah, and you're known to a lot of people to be the actor's casting director. Because even when I first auditioned, you know, with you, and I had no idea what I was doing, and you were very gracious. You always take care of the actors. Even 29 years later, I see people in the elevator all the time, and I'm like, oh, how'd it go? He's like, oh, I don't know, it didn't go great, but Mark's such a great guy, and you know, so that says a lot. And I think you're right. Your background and going through the struggles of actually what an actor has to go through. You can make them feel comfortable as soon as they come in the room and be like, hey, you're fine. Let's just do the audition. You know?
I want to treat actors the way I would have liked to have been treated.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I love actors. Without actors, I don't have a job. But for me not to create an environment where an actor can walk in and feel comfortable, they're not going to do their best work.
Sure.
I need the actors to do their best work, so I have people I love for specific roles.
Yeah.
So for me to be present and in the moment and kind to them creates the space for them to
Absolutely.
Make it all about the work and not feel anything else. And that's what I try to achieve. And I don't consciously try. It's just the way I'm wired. I mean, I welcome each actor into the room. And I've seen amazing actors. I've seen actors where there's not much craft, but I treat them both the same.
Sure.
And, you know, because it's such a crazy lifestyle for actors, especially you're auditioning sometimes 2-3 times a day and you're
sure.
on this.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky,
oh,
right.
Gosh,
in this
yeah.
rat race
yeah,
and you're going from Santa Monica to here and you're trying to get here and you know.
Still talking about the 90s, bro.
Well, I know, but he still reads people all the time. Yeah. I mean, when he has a role coming up, there's I see 100 people sometimes come through the door.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to make someone feel comfortable
yeah.
with all the other outside interference always going on
totally.
In this town just says a lot,
oh,
you know.
Thank you.
It just says a lot.
Well,
so.
And to work successfully for that long and maintain that those impulses that you had maybe when you started where you met everybody with compassion through your success to stay in that same place is pretty incredible too. Speaks to your character as
oh,
well as your craft.
Thank you. Yeah.
What was your first casting job? Like what was it that turned like what was the first opportunity you got to do it where you're like, "Oh yeah."
I literally went overnight from being a struggling actor to getting an unpaid assistant position in a casting office in a one-room office where I
yeah.
think my desk was a sawhorse, you know,
yeah.
and I'm not actually
right.
kidding.
Yeah.
And it was a real struggle, like no money for years, just, but from day one,
yeah,
I loved it. I just walked into a situation and then eventually became partners. And we had a company in New York called Myers Teschner Casting. And we cast 3 Broadway shows.
Wow.
Tons of off-Broadway. Tons of regional. I think in my life I've cast for at least 10 different
regional
theaters.
So it was theater to start with.
It was very much theater.
Yeah,
which
theater-centric.
Which is
yeah.
wonderful and lovely, doesn't pay a lot, but
yeah.
that's where I kind of cut my teeth.
For anyone.
right. And then I cut my teeth there, and
yeah.
then it went into, oh, here's an independent film. Oh, here's a television gig. And I guess my daytime break was the show Loving on ABC.
Oh,
I was brought in 1985 to be there for a 6-month maternity leave and 6 months to cover for somebody.
Yeah.
I was not pregnant. and that lasted 4.5 years.
Oh, okay, wow.
And
wow.
the there was a producer change in my last year there, and the producer that came in, who was there for a year, called me into the office one day, said, close the door, which was nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And then he told me he had become the producer of General Hospital and would I like to come out. So it kind of happened
wow.
just like that, and which is great because I always wanted to move to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I'd been here for a wedding, and I didn't want to go back. and I just loved it here, so it was a fantastic opportunity. And it's funny because back in that day, there was VCR.
Right.
There was no DVR.
Right.
So I had about like 6-7 weeks to kind of get familiar with the show. And I'd seen
gosh,
it. I'd seen it because it was always on at 3 o'clock in New York, and I would see it occasionally. But I was working, so I wasn't really
right.
watching. So I started recording episodes and watching episodes and fast-forwarding just to get a sense of the cast. I started watching tons of Los Angeles shows that were taped there. And I would freeze the DVR and write down the actors that were in it and write down notes of what role I think that, like, great for a doctor, great for attorney. I can't tell you how many episodes of Divorce Court I watched.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I created this notebook before I came out here. And for like the first 6 months, every day player was cast from my notebook. And I would circle in red.
That's amazing.
Who got cast. So, for example, we'd have a lawyer come up and I'd be like, oh, this guy from – he was great. I'd call and I'd offer them the role. So I at least for 6 months, every role that was in series regular was cast from my notebook from the
wow.
VCR.
Wow, and that was pretty – that saved you a lot of time, too, right?
Oh, yeah. It saves you a lot of time. And also
yeah.
for me, I didn't know the talent pool the way I do now 29
sure,
years later.
Yeah.
And I still do that. So basically, I'll watch a television show. I watch because I love certain shows.
Right.
But when I see talent that I like, I will make a note of it. I will, you know, I'll take a photo of the guest star credits at the end of the show. I'll take a photo of the co-star credits on my phone. And then when I get into the office, I transfer that into a log and a journal, and I keep logs and journals. So for me, it's really fun. I'll see an actor on a show and then hire them a week later for something. So it's that's the really fun part. And, you know, they can come from any show. I've hired... You know, I've hired actors I've seen on Mad Men, This Is Us. You know, it's just, it's really satisfying and gratifying for that. And they're like, how do you know who I am? I'm like, well, I saw you on television.
Right.
You know, work begets work.
Yeah, no kidding. That's tremendous. Do you still have family back east?
My mom and my sister are back east, back in the suburbs of New York.
Were they, when you got that opportunity, were they're like, hey, congrats, or you're moving to L.A.?
No, they were incredibly supportive. Yeah. And my dad at the time, who's passed away, they couldn't have been more proud. And so it was like I remember moving out here. They rented a limo, and we went to the airport and dropped me off.
That's
it was kind of
awesome.
Like really fun. The last limo I've been in.
That was their celebration.
That was their celebration.
He's gone!
They're very happy. And they'd come out and visit, you know, from time to, you know, every year. So very supportive family. They love what I do because to them
it's exciting.
It's exciting.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
To, you know, I'm the only person in my whole family that's in this field.
Yeah.
And for people that are not in the field, they view it as a very glamorous, exciting profession, which by the way, it is.
But it's also intense
and
it's a lot of work,
exhausting and demanding. Like I think to excel at anything, you would say the same thing.
Sure.
But
sure.
Most people see the glamour and the excitement of this, of which certainly it's a part of it.
Right.
But they don't see in the trenches the work goes into creating the magic.
Right.
Yeah. And over time, obviously with technology changing, because when I started in the late 80s, early 90s, you would have to get, like, agents would have to submit actual photos to you.
They would mail them or messenger them?
So back in the day, let's say you were casting a role.
Yeah,
You would release what's called a breakdown. And that is, it goes to all the agents and managers, and it tells what you're looking for in a specific
role.
How
would they get it back in the day?
Back in the day, it would be delivered by messenger. So Breakdown Services would deliver to every agent and manager that subscribed to Breakdown Services.
Sure.
It's a service they pay for.
Yeah.
Casting directors don't. And every morning they would get a stack of what's called the breakdowns, where it would list whatever show, whatever film is casting. It would list the producer, the casting director, and the project and the roles that are specifically being cast.
Right.
They would pull from their files photo and resumes and make what's called a submission.
Sure.
And they would, the agents that had deep pockets would messenger them over. The others would mail them, and they would arrive in 2 days. And the interns here would open stacks of photos.
Oh, man.
And I mean, very high. And then I would go through the photos, see who we wanted to audition, and my assistant would call each agent and set up the auditions. Fax them sides.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, for example, if an agent wanted to pitch a client, say, oh, can you take a look at my submission and look at this so-and-so? Well, you'd have to go find the picture.
Oh,
it was very time-consuming, and you'd have to wait a while. Now, it's changed. It's all electronic, which means I can put out a breakdown, and within 20 minutes, I start getting submissions. And not only do I get submissions on the computer, it's their photo or many photos, resume, and their demo reels are attached. So I can watch that and immediately see what I'm looking for in terms of setting up. And it's really helpful in terms of because there's no time lag. It's immediate. So if you get something last minute.
Yeah.
I mostly put out contract roles and major recurring roles on the breakdown. But once in a while, I'll put out day player roles. If it's something very specific. But I got to tell you, if I put out a day player breakdown for a judge for 2 episodes, I'll get 1,500 actors submitted by agents for a 2-day part. It's very competitive. And then I will go through and see who I want to see or request.
So that's a 2-day guest judge, let's just say.
Right.
So if you put a you cut for your under fives, right? So that's somebody who has a 5 lines and under that could be in the PCPD
right
now or nurses state, nurses hub, whatever. So you kind of have those guys in your pocket. You know, like, hey, this dude was great, or he auditioned great.
Yes, exactly. In other words, for under fives, it can come from anywhere. It could come from somebody that's read for me. It could come from somebody I saw in a play. It could come from somebody I saw in a film or television show.
Right.
I wouldn't say I have them in my pocket, per se, because you still have to give thought. I mean, I give attention to those lines because they're very important roles. For me, if I'm watching the show and there's something not right about even somebody for one line, I feel like the picture wasn't exactly the way I wanted it to be.
Right.
So I take those very seriously. And sometimes they're challenging under fives for whatever specific reason. You would think, well, a couple of lines, but it's really hard to find the actor
to bring that
to life. And under fives will come from, as I said, anywhere. So will day players. You know, think about it. If I'm auditioning for a contract role, I'll see anywhere from...
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
Anywhere from 100 to... I think for Katie McMullen, who was wonderful.
Willow, yeah. Who plays Willow.
I think I saw 400 actresses.
Wow.
The most I've ever seen was...
You saw 400.
400 came into your office.
Yes, not at the same time. It was about 30 or 40 a day spread out.
Good, right.
The
golly,
most I've ever seen. The most I've ever seen for a contract role, for a single role, I saw about 8 years ago when we were casting a role. It was a female, 20s, open ethnicity, anything.
Right.
I saw 850 actresses for that role.
Wow.
And what's great is we ended up hiring three actresses for...
Oh, out of that pool for different...
Yeah.
That's happened. Well, because even...
Including Emily, who played...
Oh, right.
Yeah.
She was one of the 850. Kelly Thibault
was
one of those. She got a role. And by the way...
You get a role.
They're the ones that didn't get cast in the role. Right. So think about it. I'm seeing hundreds of actors for a role. I'm probably seeing a lot of talented people that may not be right for this role, but we might want to use them down the road. So... Yeah. That's my job. I always say my job is to remember, not to forget.
Oh, right. Man.
But it's really exciting. Like, so actors will come in, and so I bring callbacks to Frank Valentini, our executive producer, and the other producers. And it depends. It could be 8 people, 20, 30. Just depends how many are right. And, you know, he'll decide who he likes, but he'll also say, hey, I like that person. Keep them on file for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that. And also, I take copious notes on every actor that has ever read for me.
Wow.
So I can refer back to my notes. And what's great is I then can click the agent, email the agent, say, can you send me their demo reel? And I can look. And so within 20 seconds, I'm watching their actor's work. Whereas back in the day, we're talking about the breakdowns, they would have to messenger over
the tape,
the VHS tape.
Yeah.
Then it became they messengered over the DVD.
Yeah.
And you'd sit and you'd watch DVDs. And it's sort of... Now it's a much more streamlined process. I have to tell you, I remember, for example, Carolyn Hennessy, who's been on the show for years, is Diane.
Diane, yes.
I saw her in a play, and she was a friend's play. She was fantastic. I'm like, oh, wow. Then this part came up, and back in the day, Bob Guza, who was writing the show, told me what they're looking for. And I was like, I saw this actress. So they messengered over her, I'm going to say DVD.
Yeah,
and I remember sitting in the room with Bob and showing him the DVD of Carolyn Hennessy, and she got the part. So, you know, we just offered it out because I saw her. But it's so funny, the DVD, whereas now you can send a click.
So how do you think that's helped you, though? Because you're very thorough in what you do. You're calculated in what you do. And all that other extraneous stuff that you were doing with watching DVDs or having to get the headshots and file the headshots and all that stuff, what do you feel that's the time has saved you?
It saves an enormous amount of time because I literally can look at 500 people, 1,000 people online and see who's right. I can click on demo reels to get a sense even before I bring an actor in. If an agent is trying to pitch a client, you can click on by agency and look at their submissions and have a real dialogue. I can get their material immediately, and I click and set up my own auditions. There's nobody calling and setting up.
Right.
So everything is very fast. It makes it easier for me to really ascertain who's right, and also makes it easier for me to look at every actor that's submitted.
Right.
Which
that's
I would
what,
do
that's
anyway.
That's what I was going to say. You can almost see, you can almost spend more time on looking at more actors.
You could.
So more opportunity from the actor side, right, of them being seen by you because you have this extra time now.
Right. So, for example, I might click on an actor's reel and say, oh, gosh, they're not right for this role at all. But wait a minute.
Right.
Something else is coming up. So it behooves me to look at everything that comes in. I also have this thing where I'm wired that I feel like if I don't look at everything, I might miss somebody. And you never want to feel that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So do you remember what was the first role you cast when you got here?
The first big role I cast was Honor's Hove. As Cesar Faison.
No kidding.
That was the first contract role.
That is amazing.
And they were open on that. It could be European. It could be whatever. It didn't matter. They wanted a villain. Honors actually was the first actor to audition for the role.
Was he? And he was living here at the time?
Yeah, he was living here from Denmark.
Yeah.
I remember his audition because I have a weird kind of semi-photo memory.
Yeah.
And I remember... The original lines were, the sky is blue, like whatever, and he's talking to his sidekick. And he went to my window and he put his hand on the window and he looked out. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy is really
he's
amazing.
Yeah. He is.
And he tested with like 7 guys and he got the role. And he was the first contract role I ever cast on General Hospital. That worked out pretty well for him and me.
Yeah, I'd say
he's an
so.
Amazing actor.
Yeah, that worked out great.
He was just, that's amazing.
And when you got here, it was at a pretty exciting time too, right?
Like the late 80s, early 90s, there were 11, 12 soaps. Yeah, it was a buzzworthy time in daytime.
Did you feel in direct competition in terms with other shows in terms of like, oh, we got to get like when you'd see another casting director have a coup, would it just be like, hey, good for them, or like curses, or
a little of both?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, here's how. First of all, you know, it's a fraternity. We're casting directors are close.
We,
you know, it's a different kind of thing. Marnie Sayid at Days of Her Life is one of my actually best friends.
Sure, she's amazing
too.
So
we're supportive and we love each other. When I see an actor, here's when I go, oh, it's when it's an actor that I've wanted on the show that either I couldn't get, they weren't available, or we passed them, where I felt like, oh, that's when I'm like, oh. Otherwise, it's like, oh, that's a really good choice for the role. So the competitiveness comes in when it was an actor that, I've been pursuing and I didn't get them.
They're, like, next on the list for something that might come up,
right,
and then, oh!
And that happens.
Right. Yeah,
that
of
happens,
course.
Sure.
Of course. When you get breakdowns for characters, are you always excited regardless of what it is, or are there some that come in and you're like, oh, either this is going to be a challenge, this is just going to be fun, or, oh no, this is going to be terror. This is going to be hard.
Sometimes it's a combination of all three. The fun part comes from that's my job.
Sure.
The excitement. Some roles feel like they're daunting. The hardest thing for a casting director is recasting. Because usually most of the time a recast is because a popular actor has left, as opposed to we need to make a change in the actor.
Right.
So then it's like, oh God. But so what you're looking for in a recast I shouldn't tell you this, Bradford. We're recasting you.
Cool.
But you didn't hear that from me.
No, absolutely not. I'm comfortable with that.
Good.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
But the hardest part is you're wanting an actor that captures the sensibility of what the role is, but you're not looking for a carbon copy. You're looking for an actor to take it in their own direction.
Right.
And but it's not fun to do. It's challenging. But here's a great example of actors making it their own. You had Sarah Brown,
right, Carly,
as the original Carly for, three, 4 years, three Emmys.
Yeah.
Then you had Tamara Braun.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Now completely different.
Completely different, but each made Carly their own. And now you've got Laura Wright, who's been killing it for over a decade.
Yeah.
So that's an example where somebody might be watching the show, new to the show in the last few years, not even realizing that there were other actresses that played the role.
Right.
So it worked out pretty well, but it's not the most fun process at all.
Yeah.
What I've noticed, Mark, and you might be able to attest to this, is it's interesting because I wasn't brought on. I did test, but it wasn't contract.
Yeah.
Which was interesting because you have a lot of guys like Bradford who was brought on not on contract, but then put on contract.
Right. I think,
you know,
weren't you supposed to be on the show for like 3 episodes or something?
It was like a month or two. I was supposed to blow up in an explosion.
Right. You were supposed to be on the show a month, right. And you know, you were so terrific. They put you under contract. It's nice when that happens. That's really fun.
Yeah.
Your situation where we tested you, we didn't actually. I think we tested you by having you stand on this.
Well, because we didn't
have
time.
It was a little different. We didn't screen test you.
It was Gloria Monty.
We put you on camera. Yes. Right. And we panned three guys. It was you.
It was me, Eric Close, and another guy that – the unknown comic. I don't know.
Michael Wilson, I think, who's a wonderful acting teacher now. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe, yeah.
So, yeah. But
I used to see him a lot on auditions. All of us were kind of the gang on auditions.
We do the screen test when it's a contract role. In other words, where we're putting them under contract. This way, we're not only seeing how they work on screen, you're also looking for the chemistry because you test an actor opposite the actor that they're supposed to be paired with on the show romantically for the chemistry.
Sure.
Now, sometimes you cast the actor and they end up having chemistry with somebody else and that changes.
Or chemistry with everybody.
Or everybody. So that's really cool when
that
happens.
Thank you so much.
So for that, we'll test anywhere from 4 to 7 out of the initial 100, 200, 300, 400, however many people have read. For recurring roles, it's a little different. We'll do it in Frank's office where, you know, we'll see the 7 or 8 actors and we'll have a room full of people watching.
And bring an actor up on the show.
Not always, but once in a while we will bring the actor they're going to be paired with up into the office and have them read with them.
I know.
So even though they're not under contract, we know up front what the chemistry is and what they can do.
You know, it's fun. It was fun, Mark, because when I've done that a few times, but for Michael.
Yes.
Right? For Chad, I read with a bunch of different guys. And it's just so interesting to be on the other side of it. And I know you have too, Bradford, but it's like everyone wants you to succeed. I think actors have it in their mind like, oh no, I'm walking into a room full of monsters. They want me to die, you know? And it's the truth is that like when I was on the other side, just for that, you know, whatever, 2 hours, everyone's rooting for the next guy to be like, oh, we hope this is the dude. I hope he can pull it off, you know?
Yeah. And when the actors walk out of the room, the people left in the room aren't like, yeah, he sucks. He's like, you know, you're like all, it's your job is to find the right person. So
it's not casting directors versus actors. You're nailing it.
Yeah.
We want the actor to succeed
because
it makes our job so much easier. Mm. Best feeling in the world is when somebody walks in the room and they're what you're looking for and their skill and craft meet my expectations. And it's like, okay, now we've got something. And then to have multiple options. Worst feeling in the world is you see hundreds and hundreds of actors. And on some level, you feel in a gut level you don't have it. And you've seen hundreds of actors. The combination of talent, charisma, presence, essence, whatever it is you're looking for.
Sure.
So obviously, I want the actor to do well. I always say to actors, if I had the role cast, I wouldn't have auditions. So clearly, I'm rooting for you when you come in the room.
Right,
because I actually need somebody to come in the room and be the answer to my problem.
Right. Now, over the years, you've done it. You've been doing it for so long, and I watched some old interviews of yours, and you said you can tell usually within 10 seconds of someone someone starting to read. Is that the reading process?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, just going out in the waiting room, you get a visceral response to somebody like, oh, wow, this person is intriguing or this person doesn't have a lot of presence, even before you get in the
room.
Isn't
that funny?
And then, you know, they start the reading and, you know, I can see, and most cast directors can, an actor's complexity, presence within 15, 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they won't be wonderful in the scene, but, you know, somebody – it's like the Jerry Maguire line, you had me at hello. There are some actors, they walk in and just they start and it's like they're so alive and present that you can tell this is somebody that has real possibility with what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Even though the scenes themselves are 3-4 pages and they're a couple of minutes.
Well, God bless you.
They're very complicated scenes because you're looking for somebody's emotional complexity for the roles because these are emotionally complex roles. We're looking for actors that can take a script and bring it to life day in, day out with the emotional complexity that is going to basically elevate the scenes and make them special, make the audience want to watch. And that's hard to find.
Well, you're not – it's in our genre, you kind of have to be a multi-tool – you have to be multi-tooled, right? Like there's so many jobs, especially in TV, where you're there for – 10 seconds and you do just that, right? And but here, you never know what's going to come on the page, and so you have to find people that can think on their feet, or at least I don't know if you know that.
Or eventually think on their feet, because when we hire an actor, we don't necessarily know if they can think on their feet. But the truth is, it's a muscle. Once you start working in the medium and are acting day in, day out and going places, it's a muscle, just like the gym, that gets developed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've really never seen an actor that, or very rarely, that hasn't been able to eventually catch up with the pace and do their thing. I mean, yes, of course, there are some actors, but...
Here, you mean? In daytime?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the intriguing thing to me is how you find... Not just lead, because obviously that's important, but the supporting roles that you cast, I believe what separates the show from other shows.
They're crucial roles.
Crucial roles. And not only do the people come in, the people that you find come in and do the job, but they take the material to another level.
Yeah.
That people wouldn't, just reading the script... Like the average fan or the viewer read the script, and then you saw, for example, Max Gale, of what he's done with that story.
And he's a recurring actor.
He's a recurring actor. Obviously, he wasn't even supposed to be here this long.
No.
The material's great. It's a great subject. But the depth and richness and complexity that he's brought to this story has me watching the monitor, right? Because I'm not a huge fan of watching the show. I don't like to watch myself. Right. I don't
like to watch you either. So it makes it feel any better.
Well, guess what? Too bad. Okay? You gave me the job. Now you're going to live with it for as long as we're here, Mark, together, till the end.
But Max is a great example. Max is an actor that comes in,
elevates
the material, and ends up sticking around a lot longer than anticipated.
Now, that wasn't just an offer. He had to actually audition.
Sometimes we, depending on the role, we just offer out.
Yeah.
We know who we want.
Yeah.
But sometimes we need to, for example, we needed to see how they worked opposite Maurice.
Yeah, sure.
And Maurice came up and we auditioned 7 actors, all well-known. You'd recognize their faces. And he and Max blew the room away. And
I get goosebumps, man.
When Max left, you know, like all of our faces, including Maurice, was wow. So that happened. Another example would be Vernay.
Yes.
Even though technically we could have offered the rollout, we brought her in and she read with Danelle and she electrified us with her
awesome.
Work in the room. You know, Patricia Bethune, who just won an Emmy for
Mary
she
Pat
read in the room.
Mary Pat, baby.
With 7 actresses that you would recognize all their faces. And it was just so you could tell in the room that, oh, wow, this is really cool. So those are 3 examples of actors
that
all won
actors.
Emmys that came in the room. And we could tell in the room that we had.
That's crazy
magic.
That they all won Emmys in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And Vernay won 2 years in a row.
That's right.
Which is crazy.
Awesome.
That just is so awesome, man. We appreciate it. I mean, I appreciate it because it's like makes my job so much easier because, you know, we don't get a lot of time to rehearse, to do takes. And when you have someone who can bring it, it's like you're doing take 8.
It's really one of my favorite things in the world is bringing in the guest stars and the day players for the show
because,
you know, it really is part of the canvas. And I got to tell you something. People that come in for one day, it is a hard job. You know, it's a medium where it's fast. And, we shoot 130 pages a day. And actors that haven't done it, they're not used to it, and it's fast. So people that come in for 1 or 2 days, it's like, okay, act. And you got to bring it. It's hard for them. They have a tough job.
Yes.
I don't know. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was during the whole mob story, right? We had some guys from The Sopranos on at that time. And we had this one guy who had just done kind of mob movies and a lot of independent films. Never really did a lot of ever.
Vinny Pastore from The Sopranos.
No, Vinny. He knew what he was doing. This other guy was not felt like to me was never on a TV set.
Right.
Just did movies.
Right.
And he was. I don't know if he was under 5 or just kind of a day player, but he was just so you could just tell he was so out of his element that he was asking the camera guy for water. He was like, didn't know really what was going on with the whole hierarchy of things. And it was just funny because we did it. And he's like, okay, good. Let's do it a few more times. And then we can tape this. I go, no, dude, we're done. He's like, what do you mean? I said, the cameras are moving, bro, to the next set. Thank you, man. It was great. Great. Nice to meet you. And he's like, this is bullshit, man. What are we doing here?
Oh, wow. That's a star. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was just so funny because he was just so used to, you know, you get, it's a whole different animal coming from film. And obviously, you know, you teach, obviously. So coming from film to the jungle, you're in the jungle here.
Oh, yeah. It's
I mean, this is the jungle.
It's
years and years ago, we had Michael Learned on the show from the Waltons.
Yeah.
And an exquisite actress. And she was in for a three-month guest arc of a woman that's dying of cancer but has this beautiful, indomitable spirit that affects everybody. And I bumped into her in the commissary after her first morning, and she said that she thought they were rehearsing and then they were done with the take. She goes, I didn't realize it was that fast. So,
yeah.
You know, you people think they're prepared, but unless you're in the ring, you don't know what it's like.
It is like hearing that bell ring and you're just like, oh, okay,
right.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's definitely a different animal.
Have you noticed?
But you know what? It's still about acting.
Acting
is acting. It's not like, oh, we need to find an actor that's done daytime. It's who's the best actor for the role. And the truth is, almost everybody figures it out when they're here. And then they let their work shine. And then it's ultimately, regardless of how fast it is, how much material, it's still about, are they acting? Are they in the moment? And that's where the payoff is.
Yeah. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. It's easy, completely legal, and yes, you can watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free.
Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up.
Yeah, and you can download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream.
So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV.
60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a TrueCar cash offer.
Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions, get the answers you need, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride.
So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I'm curious, so when you started, I bet you had people calling to say, hey, I would love to be on your show. Maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
You'd
get phone calls.
And then and then maybe in the 90s, 2000s, thing, how did it shift? And then now when it seems like in Hollywood any job is a – you know, for actors, any job is a job. But that has changed over the years, right, where people like view certain jobs as certain – elevate certain jobs versus other.
I see where you're going with this question.
Yeah, like
have I seen a change in the way daytime is viewed in the acting community? Is that
well,
what you're
well,
trying
sure,
to say?
Well, sure, but how does, I'm curious how it specifically affects you.
Does it open a new pool for you? Because
yes,
when
yes.
we started, it was, hey, that's a film guy. That's a primetime guy.
Yes.
But you still had Elizabeth Taylor call and say, I want to do it.
Well, I wasn't
well,
here
you
for that,
there,
but yes, she was a fan of the show. And
sure.
I don't know the alchemy that made that happen, but sure.
When the show's on the top of the world, you might have people saying, oh, that'd be cool to be on that. And then it goes through a period where, you know, like maybe that doesn't happen. But now it seems like I'm seeing more just regular, you know, there's less of a separation between television and
yeah.
film anyway.
Oh, correct.
Right.
Nowadays, you know, you see movie stars doing television.
Right.
You see such crossover. When I started here 29 years ago, you'd see that, but not to the degree there was. Kind of, you're a film actor, you're a television actor, and then that landscape has changed. Actors want to work.
Right.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel like 29 years later, I have access to a bigger pool of people mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. want to do daytime that might not have wanted to do it a while ago, where that stigma has changed for a lot of actors
yeah.
and
yeah.
stuff. Because you look at the crossover, you know, we could watch a whole line of primetime shows and you'll see, oh my God, that guy's from this show, that guy's from
right.
that show. There's just transcendent crossover now.
And the whole thing when James Franco came was an interesting, that was probably sort of one of its kind.
It really was.
Event.
It was an anomaly. You know,
yeah.
it's
yeah.
sort of like at the Oscars, they introduced him as soap star James Franco. What it did was, I think it gave the show some buzz, but it also gave the community that if James Franco, Academy Award nominee, is doing the show, we should pay a little more attention to what's going on in daytime.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it was good from a perception point of view, from the casting point of view as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah, I think it gave a lot of people some context into what the actors do here and the level of acting and
correct.
Just craft that happens here, because you pluck someone that is known for their you know talent in another area and put in here and oh they fit in, but they're not necessarily heads and shoulders above everybody. Like, oh, these are just actors. It's not just like you put this guy in here and he's gonna stay. It was a fascinating experience for everybody.
The actors here hold their own with anyone.
Yeah, and it's
just the truth.
It is the truth, and I think what you made a good point, because for some reason finally in 52 podcasts, he finally made a good point.
Sometimes it takes a year.
But film actors are always...
Back up.
Yeah.
You've had 52 people on before me. Great, thanks. Carry on.
Some episodes we just do the two
I can see where I rank.
Steve, from the bottom of my heart.
In the hierarchy.
It was a mistake hiring you.
Yeah, right.
but the good point was that because film actors were always put up on a pedestal, right?
Yep.
In the mediums of TV, daytime, and film. Oh, he's a film actor. But if you put a film actor in daytime,
right.
most of them wouldn't want to do it. Like when I did The Last Castle, Robert Redford was so fascinated with daytime.
Right.
He would just be like a kid. He'd be like, so tell me, what do you do? How do you do it?
Right.
How do you do 25 pages a day? I just don't understand this. You know, he was so fascinated by the whole process. He's like, I don't think I could do it.
You know,
and this is Robert Redford,
right.
who's
yeah.
one of the biggest film stars ever, you know, and he didn't even want to, you know, kind of jump in the game, which obviously he doesn't have to, but he was just so fascinated by that process.
If nobody has experienced it, it's hard to explain because,
yeah.
for example, a primetime show, they have, what, 7 to 10 days to shoot the hour.
Yeah.
No one understands what it's like to shoot 250 hours a year. They unless they've done it, they really can't. Comprehend it, because if you really think about it, in some ways it's incomprehensible.
It
yes.
is. It is. Until
I'm in it, and I'm still in awe every day of how much we do.
I mean, can you imagine if you had a big film casting director? How long do they have to cast a movie?
Months, usually months.
Months, right? A couple months, 2-3 months.
Depends on the film. Sure.
Sure. So, I mean, you don't have you're like thrown in the fire, kind of like we are,
pretty much,
right? So you're like, I got to cast this role next week.
Yeah, for the contract roles, I'm given much more time.
Yeah,
usually I've got at least 4 to 6 weeks to find it for a contract role. Sometimes something happens very quickly, and all
yeah.
of a sudden it's accelerated.
Yeah,
but yeah, for the day players and the under fives and the recurring roles, I may know about the role, but I'll see the script a few weeks in advance. So I have not a lot of lead time, but enough to cast the show. Right. In other words, in prime time, they don't get the scripts till like the week before. So if you're casting a series, you're really having to move quick. You have like 4 or 5 days to cast the show. I have longer than that. But remember, I'm also casting multiple roles. So I might be seeing, for a contract role, I'll see 30 to 40 actors a day, depending on how much time I have. But I'm still reading script for the day players, for the under fives. Right, I might be working on 2 contract roles at the same time. So it's never just, oh, let me just put my energies on this. Sure. It's still juggling all the different roles that have to be cast.
It's a juggle, and the average, your average month, is it 10 under fives and 10 day players and 1 contract?
More than, well, contract, we usually have anywhere from 3 to 8 a year.
Okay.
3 to 7, 3 to 6, just depending.
Okay.
A lot of work goes into that because of seeing hundreds of people for that role.
Sure.
I can't quantify how many day players are under fives, but it's a lot more than 10 a month.
Yeah. Well, and the size of your department has shifted over the years, too.
We used to be 3 people. Now it's 2 people, which is on par with all the other casting departments in daytime.
Yeah.
I think all the daytime departments used to have 3 people. But the dynamics of the business and as things have changed, all the daytime dramas are down to 2 people. So, it's a lot of work.
Of course.
You know, I think to do what you love, it's work, but you're still doing what you love. I got to tell you, there's not a day that I – this is not so corny, but there's not a day that I don't love coming to work. Even though I've got like, oh, God, this is so challenging. I hope I find it. And there are days I feel stuck.
Yeah, Mark, you're separated by your passion for what you do from what I've noticed over the years.
Right.
You're never, ever, ever not positive ever coming to work. You're always grateful because I know you.
Yeah.
And I think that's – I mean, we talk about it a lot just in life, how that can separate you and have you, and your perception of things. But for you to continue to do what you do day in and day out and have that mindset and also have that mindset for the actors when they come in is just – it's just a testament to who you are. And that's why you're successful. I mean, you obviously have a talent of finding this incredible talent that comes on this show, obviously. But, you know, just you as a person is just – it's – you know, I always love seeing you. I always love just talking to you because you're always positive and upbeat just about life, you know. And that's –
it's about gratitude.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. You're right.
We all have – so much that you know, everybody complains. We all have crap days where, oh, my God. But problems are really relative. Yes, our problems and issues are real for us.
Yeah.
We have things that overwhelm us. But, you know, a few years ago I was down about something. And I remember driving to visit my cousin who lives downtown. It was maybe New Year's Day brunch or whatever. And I was feeling a little blue and got off the exit, and I hit this stretch of homeless people living in tents. And I was like, get over it, Mark. This is a struggle. You have so much to be grateful for. And that was a real head-turner for me.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like it snapped into focus, being grateful for this job, the people and stuff. How could you not be?
Yeah. No, it's amazing. I know you got to get back to work here, so I'm going to – if Bradford – I have a few more questions.
Yep, see, I'm fine.
Okay, cool. So – over the years, I know it's hard to choose one or two people. What casting stands out the most kind of to you, maybe because of behind-the-scenes stuff, that it was difficult to get that person or we didn't know, or they were just like, wow, this person, like Faison, your first one? That's amazing for your first casting job to get Anders. But which one's kind of – and I know it's hard to say this.
It's hard to say
because – people go, which one's your favorite Carly?
Well, even if,
you know,
even if it was just a – the experience was crazy or – like, you know what I mean, in terms of – it doesn't necessarily have to be like –
this is a better actor. But like Max Gale was magic, right?
That's an example of something that will
– that's an anomaly to like – not only a good actor but – you won an Emmy, and the story's amazing. And you're
playing a role that nobody would have necessarily expected him to play
based
on the persona, but he's a great actor.
Yeah.
You know, I can just tell you that there's so many
stories
like that where sometimes a role, it happens quickly, and others, it's a real struggle to find it. You know, I mean, I remember, for example, I remember Jonathan Jackson being 12 years old and testing for the role.
Yeah.
Reading and kids, that must be hard.
It's you're looking for the magic, because if you look at all our kids, they're old souls. They're not these cutesy, perky kids. They're all deep. So finding the right kid, that is not easy at all. Right.
Well, you found Jonathan, and that was – that dude.
And Amber Tamblyn, same thing. Amber, she was 11 or 12. You know, when you see these kids and then you watch them kind of grow up on the show. I remember, I'll tell you a role that was really hard to cast was Brenda.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. I saw hundreds and hundreds, and Vanessa walked in, and I don't know if you know the story, but she looked around, looked around the waiting room and thought, all these girls were so beautiful, I'm not going to get it. And she got up to leave right as I opened the door and said, Vanessa.
Wow.
And she turned to me, and she said when she looked at me, she knew she was going to get the role. But that was a challenging role to cast. In fact, she was the only person we tested for the role.
Wow.
Which is really rare.
Wow.
She's
things like that where sometimes for whatever reason, it's really hard to find.
Yeah, and the circumstances, you know, because I always tell the story and you know, that we were here testing. It was Gloria Monty, and it was hours upstairs with you, and you'd come out and say, Gloria's, she can't test today. Can you guys come back tomorrow?
Oh, man.
Yeah, and that was challenging.
And two or three times like that, and we're like, "Yeah, Mark, it's fine. Don't worry, we'll come back." But he felt so bad because we're waiting around for it.
That was a tough time, and that's a difficult process for the actors to be there longer than they need to be or should be. How are you going to do your best work? It's debilitating. So that was a casting your role was actually really stressful. If I'm thinking about it,
very.
Blinding blonde hair in your face too.
Well, you know, you were right out of this world. Was that the show? And you were this bleached blonde surf dude.
Yeah.
But I can't explain it. You were good, and there was something intriguing about you. And I always felt like you're the guy. And that's the story when Gloria turned to me about 15 minutes before and said she wanted everybody to be 6 feet. Yeah. Well, that was the first time I'd heard of that. And by the way, I might add, this is interesting. That's the only time I've ever been told that I had to hire an actor of a certain height in my 29 years here.
Wow.
And I remember saying to Steve, how tall are you? And he said, 5'10 and a half. I said, I need you to be 6 feet in 15 minutes. Fortunately, he was wearing high top Doc Martens.
Yes, I was.
We found newspapers because people read newspapers.
Oh, yeah.
Went in the bathroom and we stuffed his shoes together.
It's amazing.
And he came out and he was tall.
You could have just teased his hair out.
And the rest is really, it's a great story.
It's a great story.
True, and it just shows how random something could be.
It's amazing.
Right.
It's
Vanessa
opening the door. It's like those things. Yeah. If I would have gone on, you know, on set with Gerald and I was looking up to him, she'd be like, now, next.
Yeah, just sometimes it can feel like that random moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank God you did that for me, Mark. I'll be forever grateful that you took me into the bathroom.
Yes, the brunch today shows how grateful you are.
No, but it is amazing. In so many aspects of life, it's that it's timing. It's
you
being
can say
in the right
relationship
place.
Wise. You know, you know, you're in the aisle of Whole Foods and you meet the love of your life.
Right.
You know,
right.
That life is really made of those moments where sometimes you go right, sometimes you go left. I just rewatched Sliding Doors.
Oh, I love that movie.
And I love that because, you know, it's so hopeful. But
the
idea that, you know, you may not have met your wife had she not been interned.
Of course.
So life is like that, and that's the wonderful thing. And so casting is kind of a microcosm of that, and acting careers are like that. You know,
right?
You go left, you go right.
Have you ever thought about that? I mean, not to like your whims, your day, however, so many things that affect you then will affect maybe some people and change the course of their life forever. I mean,
hundreds of people.
Right. So, like, I know you're a humble guy, so you don't want to be like, oh, I'm God, I can affect life changes. But at the same time, that's a lot of power and a lot of responsibility.
I do, I do think about that, but not on a daily basis.
Sure.
But yes, it's so funny. I was thinking yesterday, based on a gut feeling that I have, it has the potential to change an actor's career.
Absolutely.
And I wasn't thinking it in terms of, oh, how powerful.
Right, exactly.
I was actually thinking about it in terms of, wow, I really have a responsibility. And I was in awe of wow, I got to take this seriously because people's lives change with that. I thought about that yesterday, but in that context.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Well, because, I mean, you can see, I've certainly come across some casting directors that are affected by that power and love having it, right? And not everyone is as compassionate and as gracious as you are, and they don't get the best work out of their actors like you do too, right? You know, so like, and that's everybody, you know, especially in this business, the people that last in this business are not the jerks.
I'll give you an example of like the seeming randomness of. So my daughter's 14, but back when she was a little younger, we would watch all the Disney, Nickelodeon shows, and I'd watch with her because, first of all, they were pretty clever, but there were always a lot of good people on it.
Sure.
So I'm watching an episode of Austin and Ally, and Haley Aaron is playing a vegetarian girlfriend of Austin, and he tries to pretend he's vegetarian to be able to date her.
Yeah.
And I went to the I wrote down her name, and I went to the office, and I wrote down Haley Aaron, *, bring in for a contract role.
Yeah.
And so what if I wasn't watching Austin and Ally that day?
Right.
And she knows this story. And then look what happened. So it's sort of like, you just never know. And for an actor, that can be exciting as well. Like, you never know as an actor when somebody's going to see you and you're going to get an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, it is amazing. Now, speaking of that, because I know you do workshops and you've been doing workshops for a long time.
I don't call them workshops. I teach. There's a difference.
Okay.
Workshops, first of all, workshops are not permitted in the state of California.
Because
it's the idea of actors are coming in to show you their work. I've been teaching for 35 years where I really teach the craft of acting, which then can be applied to giving good auditions based on the premise that good acting leads to good auditions to good work. But I'm a teacher.
Right. Okay. So that being said, I know there's probably people, you know, listening who may want to act or might have a kid who wants to act. And we get this question asked all the time. How do I get started? What do I do? In today's environment, what do you feel if somebody wanted to get started would be the best way to do so? Because back when I started, it was different. I would do a commercial class and then they would have a showcase, and that's how I got my agent. I don't know if that's as prevalent today as it was then.
I think there still are showcases that people get agents from.
Yeah.
Whether it's from their college or a lot of places that are schools present showcases.
Where they
invite the community, agents, managers, cast. Yeah. You go and they literally give you a book with the photos and resumes. And you see 20 actors in an hour. They each do 3-minute scenes. That is one way. But the most important thing, I'm glad you asked that, the most important element is being trained as an actor.
Okay.
It's not enough to be beautiful. I can't tell you how many great-looking people come in to read for me that never make it back because there's not the skill that goes with what's required.
Right.
It's really about the craft of acting. So if anybody's serious about it, it's important to get in a class, to get in a scene study class. You got to start somewhere. If you don't live in Los Angeles, I would think twice about moving to Los Angeles where there's 100,000 actors. I would try to be the best I could be in my community. And then if there's nothing there that you can grow with, maybe make the move. But for example, I would tell an actor coming in from Dallas, have you done everything in Dallas that you can as an actor, every play? Or is your craft at a level where you feel like you've done all you can do? It's really about your ability to act that's going to sustain a career or not. It's not enough to, you know, I tell actors less time on Instagram and more time in class.
Yeah.
That's my mantra.
Mm. Well, it's not
about your followers.
It's a good mantra.
You know how you get followers? Become a good actor and
do something. Get followers.
And then you'll get a lot of actors.
And you'll get the right kind of
and
followers.
You'll get legitimate followers that actually are just, that's my philosophy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's great because there's a lot of competing, you know, it's amazing what you see people from YouTube, from Instagram that are getting opportunities, not necessarily to do amazing acting roles out of the gate, but you see people that are getting these opportunities by just putting themselves online and doing something that is eye-catching in one way or another. And that, you know, in our industry now, that's a weird thing. And I think we've hit the peak of that and we're coming down. I hope. I don't know. But so it's nice to hear someone that helps make the decisions.
You could see people that make fortunes from YouTube, Instagram,
influencers,
being influencers,
yes.
Products, celebrities.
Right.
They have their own shows. I mean, my daughter watches a lot of them.
Right.
But very few, you know, that persona, that skill, very few become actual actors.
Sure.
Very few.
Right.
It's like when people say, like you'll hear like an athlete say, well, I'm a natural performer. I'm going to go into acting. Acting's not about performing. Acting is a real craft and skill.
Yeah.
So you don't really see a lot of crossover with people that haven't focused on being an actor. Yes, you see some. But,
right.
You know, if you want to play in the Los Angeles or New York Philharmonic, you can't play in the orchestra if you actually are not a virtuoso. If you want to dance in a prestigious ballet company, unless you really have great skill, you can't dance in a company. Acting is the only profession where some people with no skill actually get work. And
right.
So I think it sends out the message to people, well, I can just do it.
Sure.
But the truth is, and so even though that exists, it's really about if you can't act, you're not going to last long in this career. It's going to be very discouraging for you.
Yeah, it's interesting because the influencers, I don't want to say that's money driven, but a lot of it is, right?
Right.
And with acting, you have to have a real passion for acting and know that you could not make money I'm sure there's a lot of people who are really good actors in theater or off-Broadway who are continuing to do it because they'd love acting, but they haven't gotten a break.
Or at least a financial break, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's you. The only reason to become an actor is because you love
the
craft of acting, because that will sustain you, your love for acting. To
right.
come into to be famous and stuff, that's you're going to be very disappointed because it doesn't work that way.
No.
You've got to be in it for a long time. You know, one of my best friends, Ray, an actor in his 50s, who, you know, got the job here and there, but wonderful actor, struggled for a long time, and now he recurs on 3 major series. So it's like in his 50s he hit.
Right.
But he's been acting for 25 years
to
get to that place.
Right.
So that's an example of you do it because you love acting. You live and breathe acting.
And it keeps showing up.
What you do.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that's what's cool, though, because you go and you've seen this, Mark, because you've been in the business so long, you see different transitions. Like, I'm in a different space than I was, obviously, when I first started. You know, I'm going to be able to go out for – now I'm the dad.
Or the
right?
Or the grandpa.
You know, puts it in perspective.
Or the grandpa? What'd you say?
Or the grandpa.
This guy wants to get beat up.
But
every day he's with me.
To what you're saying, here's my favorite example of this. I gave Luke Perry his first job. He was 19 years old, series regular on the show, Loving.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
Now, he was 52 years old, and he is playing the dad on Riverdale. And
right.
I was watching
there
it
go.
With my daughter, and I thought, wow. You went from being the young, wild kid on the show to being the father of the young, wild kid on the show. And that, to me, really, really showed up with the arc of Luke. Like you're saying, you go from being the kid, and all of a sudden you're the father.
Right.
It's ironic because I had breakfast with Luke about 10 days before he passed.
Oh.
And we had that very same conversation.
Yeah.
And it's very humbling to think, and it's a tribute to an actor's career.
Yeah.
You, Luke, or any actor that's in it, to go from the young, wild kid to the father, just to have been in it that long.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's an example of I've watched somebody grow, just like you, Steve, from 19 to a certain age where you're the father. And it's like, wow, that's somebody that sustained a career. What an arc.
Yeah.
It's very humbling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. For us getting older, too, it's humbling.
Yeah,
for sure.
Over the years, I mean, your schedule is such that how do you take breaks? I mean, now we have even in our weeks off, we are in a week off right now, and we're so glad that you're taking the time to be. But you were coming to work anyway, right?
I was coming to work anyway,
right?
Because I still have to cast the show.
Right.
There's still our scripts coming in. The roles have to be cast when we're back from break. So actors to see for contract roles and things. So it's even if the show goes on dark weeks, which we do, they're not dark for casting. We still have to, scripts are still coming in during the dark weeks. They're being written. They still have to be cast.
So honestly, because I know you don't just turn it off on Saturday and Sunday, because I know you. So what do you do for a break? I mean, when do you get a break?
I get weeks off. And I don't work weekends. I mean, yeah. I'm blessed in the sense that I'm not turning it off in the sense that if I'm watching something, I'm looking at actors.
Sure.
But I go to the movies and watch television because I love it. The fact that I get actors out of it, that's just a bonus. So, yes, I would be technically working. But, you know, the weekends come and I have weekends and I have a daughter.
14. She's 14.
14. And awesome. I have a life. Yeah. And I try to find the balance as best I can. And I really do try to, on the weekends or when I'm home, let the work go. I'm much better at it now than I was, say,
Was it always, was it hard to find that balance?
Yeah. And now it's sort of like, I realize that not only is it important, it's necessary.
Sure.
Yeah. To be able to breathe and have a life outside of here while taking this very seriously. So I have time off. I have time to breathe. And, you know, I tell actors, I do a lot of speaking, public speaking to actors, love acting with all your heart. Pursue it with all your passion. But leave space for other things that excite you, whether it's painting, dance. There are other artistic outlets, writing, that you can have when you're not acting or pursuing
podcasting.
that moment, because it will fulfill you.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's really important to have a life outside of just acting or just casting. That balance is really crucial for your own sanity.
No, it is, for sure, because that's like, that's such great wisdom, because, you know, being in the business and always focusing on, oh, I got to get a job, I got to get a job, I got to get a job, instead of saying, hey, maybe I'll just go maybe write this short film and shoot it with my buddies, right?
And you can do that now. That's another seismic change. When started here 29 years ago, actor didn't have footage, they'd be like, well, I'm hoping to get it from the film I did. And I'm like, good luck on that.
Sure.
Now, actors can shoot scenes on that come up great, even on an iPhone.
Right.
Actors can create content. I mean, there's a lot of avenues for that.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, you're talking about series, streaming.
Yeah.
I tell actors, because, you know, every actor knows a director. Every actor knows a writer. There's no reason you can't put your heads together and create something whether it's a five-minute short, a 10-minute short, or a feature. This is as corny as it sounds. I tell actors, don't wait, create.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting around waiting for something to happen, you might wait a long time.
Yeah.
But there are so many success stories where actors have not waited and they've created that opportunity to be seen. And I encourage every actor to do that. Yeah. If you're just waiting for the phone to ring, you're not pursuing a career with all your heart.
You know, we talked about it a little bit, but artists, anybody that is, actors, anybody in this business, we are creative types, right? And so if you stop feeding that, or stop feeding your creativity, it can stop producing for you. It's very easy to prioritize other things, and, you know, as artists, you have to find a way to bring that into your life.
Well, and then it gives you more, honestly, it sparks more passion.
Yeah.
Because we're doing these 90-minute kind of comedy, music comedy shows now about General Hospital, and it's ignited something in us that we...
That's great.
That was kind of dormant of, man, this is exciting. And great, this is exciting. Man, I can't wait to go to work today. This is exciting.
Right.
You know what I mean? As opposed to being in the mundane of the cyclical of, okay, it's just my job, I'm coming in.
How do you keep it fresh, for example?
Right.
You're working 3 days a week. You're in 200 episodes a year. How do you keep it fresh? And that's the challenge for an actor in daytime.
100%
it is. And yet, you have to find a way
to
be present to the moment for the magic that might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm looking at the two of you. And you guys were, I mean, this is going to sound corny. Like, I'm looking at both of you. You were kids when you got cast. You're both married with kids. I'm looking at the wedding rings. And it's like, so it's sort of like, you know, your journey. You know, I've seen your journey.
Yeah.
I've seen Jonathan Jackson grow up in front of me.
Yeah.
I've seen, you know, Eden go from, you know,
amazing.
11 years
By
old.
The way,
right.
Because, you know, I asked you if you were on Twitter back in the day because. Or whatever, 6 months ago or a year, whatever it was, because Eden is such the perfect casting for Jax and Carly's daughter. It is honestly one of the best ever. It's just
she's
amazing. She's amazing.
She's special.
She's I mean, 15 years old. That chick can act, like, it's amazing to watch her.
Right.
You know, so.
So, you know,
kudos
me seeing
to you
the
for
kids.
That.
Oh, thank you. I love her.
That's
to
amazing.
To see the kids grow up. I mean, Haley Poulos was 11 years old.
Yeah.
She's, what, 19 now? Yeah. So to watch her go from an 11-year-old girl to a young woman, it's like you see people in daytime grow up
yeah. on right daytime. Before yeah. your eyes. Yes. I did.
In real time.
Yeah, I mean,
in
we go. Time. I started in 91. I was 21. I looked like I was 16 years old. And right. people are like, I grew up with you. I mean, it's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
You know, it's a really cool thing to be a part of.
To touch people the way you guys do, day in, day out. And people watch you grow and transform as people. It's really kind of cool if you think about it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty unique.
Well, and not just, but 5 days a week too, right? So we're part of people's daily lives. Which is so they might not even realize that you have grown up, because when you look in yourself in the mirror every day, you don't see it. And then it's when you look back and go, oh, wow, 20 years ago, Steve looked a lot different than he does now. But I didn't even notice because I see him every day.
Because no shows last 20, 30 years. I know. It's prime time. It's an anomaly. I mean, Grey's Anatomy being, 15 years. That's a rarity.
Yeah.
Most shows, one season, even a show that's a hit, that's 7 seasons. So that's 7 years of seeing people change. You guys have 20 years of people seeing you change, 30 years. It's crazy. So you really are in real time.
Yeah.
Growing up and maturing in front of people's eyes.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
You know?
Mark Teschner, you're the man.
The man. Thank you
for
everything.
We love you so much. And, and honestly, I'm so grateful that you gave me the opportunity to do what I love to do. And I know I could speak for thousands of actors who you've touched and you changed their life. You changed my life. I mean, you really did. And I'll always be grateful to you for that. Always. So.
Well, we should be thankful that you were wearing high top Doc Martens.
Yeah, right.
So thank Doc Martin.
Yeah, thank you.
But thank you. But, I love seeing actors grow on the show and have success on the show. It's very, it's heartwarming. It makes me feel like I had a part in that. It's a really awe-inspiring thing to think about.
Well, and I think everyone here, not only do they enjoy the experience of auditioning for you, but then you feel like our ally from then and then forevermore. Anytime when I remember when I first started, and I would see you, when I would still be nervous on set sometimes, but I'd see you down here, and I just my shoulders relaxed because my ally, my support, you do that for so many people here.
He was down. You were down down here. You're on the fifth floor, and we're on the first floor. But you were down here last week. Because we had a few day players that you were at. You were like, hey, how's it going?
Right.
Just checking on them.
Yeah.
Checking with us on them.
Yeah.
And they were doing fantastic. The guy was great. The guy's playing Cop Billy. Great. Knows his stuff. I mean, just so studied. Just comes in seamless. And obviously, I'll try to help. I'll help when I can.
Yeah.
But the tools were there for this guy to succeed.
Yeah.
Right. He came in, knows his stuff. Now it's just let's just relax. And now you
it's
can do
nice
your best
to
work.
Connect in person. I mean, I don't come down every day because I'm in auditions.
Sure.
Yeah.
When there's a moment to breathe, I might come down, or I'll go to set and watch an actor work on set just to.
And that's when we yell, there's Mark Teschner, ladies and gentlemen.
Just to be able to kind of watch, to pick that up so that I'm not sitting in an office watching on a monitor when there's the opportunity once in a while to just go down and breathe the living, breathing entity of a scene being done in front of me. It keeps me fresh. It keeps me excited.
Yeah.
So if people want to learn from the greatest, where do we go? MarkTeschner.com?
Well, there's many ways to study in this town.
Yes.
There's many ways to study. My teaching is out there.
Okay, good.
But there's a lot of great teachers out there. And just, you have to find what works for you.
Right.
Isn't
that true?
And there's not one size fits all.
Yeah.
There's no one style of acting. People have said to me, what's the best acting technique? Because, you've got Meisner, you've got and I always say the best technique is being a truthful actor.
Yeah.
However you
gave me a few acting books when I got here.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah,
really?
Uta Hagen.
Yeah, an actor prepares.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You gave me
that.
Two books when I got here, and you're like, here.
That's so cool.
Read these.
I didn't even know
and
that.
And I'm like,
that.
Great.
How's it coming?
It worked out pretty well.
I'd say it worked out pretty well.
Because we have Emmys. Do you have yours yet?
Oh, man.
Okay,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Did you have 5 nominations?
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible, considering you were supposed to be on the show for 3 months.
Yeah,
that's remarkable.
I am not.
But think about that.
It's amazing. I mean, winning's better, but yeah, it's amazing.
And I finally have a wall in my house where I can put up all those embossed certificates. They're really, thank goodness, the nominations are pretty too. They're not as pretty as the statue.
Right, but if you can't really have the certificate and then no statue.
Well, if you don't have
a tough room.
If you're looking in your periphery,
yeah, and then someone
and
comes
you
just in and
see
goes
some gold embossed Emmy things in your periphery. That's cool.
Does that make you feel good?
If you read the certificate and it says "but he lost," then it's not as cool.
No, no, because someone comes in and goes, "Ah, he was close."
It's an honor to be nominated.
That's for damn sure.
It is actually an honor to be nominated.
If you think about it,
it's amazing.
Really
So you've won how many Emmys?
Nine,
and you've been nominated. Oh,
well,
gosh.
I guess probably
29 times.
No. They've really only given the casting Emmy for 20 years. So I think I've got an additional, 10 nominations.
Wow. Sure.
So it's relatively new in the scheme of awards in daytime.
Yeah. Right. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, but the casting awards, which is the
Artios Awards.
And that's the casting society that
gives
them out?
Yes.
So that's from your peers.
From your peers. And that's really a fun one, too.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
And I bet you guys let loose at the Artios.
We have
they're like, lock the doors. What stays in here?
No actors in here.
Doesn't leave.
That's funny. There are no actors. It's all agents, managers, and cast directors. The only actors are the ones presenting the awards.
God, can you imagine if an actor snuck in there? It would... the casting directors! Oh, my God!
Occasionally... A manager might bring an actor, but they're really not supposed to. It's not.
That's the silent rule of the clubs.
You don't bring your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You don't bring. It's just really
sure.
You go with your office.
Yeah.
The offices by tables. It's really fun.
That's kind
of
cool.
It's a fun
huh?
night of being with your peers because a lot. So much of this business is phone and email.
Yeah.
Every year that I go, I'm meeting somebody that I've spoken to but never met, and that's that wonderful moment of just connecting with somebody on a real, meaningful
level.
The
longest,
that's what you look like.
What's the longest you've talked to somebody on the phone, how many years, and then you finally met them in person?
It's possible. It could be 20.
Oh, my gosh. That's just – I mean, isn't that crazy that you can have a relationship without actually meeting somebody in person for 20 years in this business?
No one has time. And it's such there's not the time to go out to lunch and meet.
Let's do lunch doesn't work anymore?
When I first moved here, there was a lot of let's do lunch. I was the new kid in town, and I would take the lunches. I was able to. The pace of daytime has changed. We're only two people in the office. I eat at my desk. It's a very glamorous job.
I walk in half the time he's wolfing down something.
Yeah, I'm eating a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's such a intense field and then after work, who has the time to meet for a drink?
Right.
I got to get home or do something. Yeah. So it's very rare if you haven't met somebody. So those events
are
kind of your opportunity to meet people, that's my favorite thing about the event.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, man.
We appreciate
your
time, Martha and Mark.
Happy to be here, and happy you guys are still
Tesh
on the
baby,
show.
Tesh Baby 1-2. That's our song. You don't know what it means, but I'll tell you
and
later.
You don't need
Rex
to.
And Effects?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he does know Rex and Effects. Good for you.
Wow.
That's the 90s.
That's Rump Shaker,
that's
dude.
Your time.
Dude.
Tesh Baby 1-2.
It's kind of an inside joke from people that have won Emmys.
And that's the best way to end this podcast, to make Bradford feel
amazing.
Amazing.
Oh, thank you,
thank you, Marky Mark.
Thank you.
Anytime.